Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church on this glorious Sunday morning when we're going to get to hear some magnificent voices coming from beautiful people. How about we're welcoming them as a group, but how about welcoming each other? Pass the peace of God to your neighbors and say hello. And if you don't know them, speak to them anyway. I have never seen anybody get bitten in a church. Wonderfully enthusiastic welcome. Please let us prepare our hearts for worship as we sing our hymn of preparation, which you will find on the inside of your bulletin at the top. Each Sunday, I try to pull out some announcements from the newsletter to encourage you to look at your newsletter, whether it comes in the mail or whether you get it electronically. The one thing I wanted to pull out for your attention, because some of the things are already mentioned in your bulletin, but the one thing I wanted to pull out for your attention is that we now have the July and August upper rooms in, and you will find them out in the narthex, and you will find them by the side door in the fellowship hall. So, remember, we've increased the price a little, but get your copy. That's just one of the many devotional aids that do help us remember who we are from Sunday to Sunday. So I wanted to call your attention to that. I also would like to ask you if you would please look in your bulletin. At the very bottom on the inside, I want you to star the church conference. This is a very important meeting. We're meeting to discuss the parsonage and how we're going to proceed from this point on. So please make a notice of that. And of course, if you haven't read it in your newsletter, was just commenting a few minutes ago to Terry that these beautiful people surely made our newsletter look better this last week because they were on the front cover. But read the little blurb about the group that we have today. We want to extend a tremendous welcome. Thank you so much for coming. We are really looking forward to hearing from you today. Also, please notice the blessing of the prayer shawls, the people who spend the time in prayer, knitting and crocheting these prayer shawls that we then pass on to other folks, not only people who are joining our church, but people who are having particular experiences in their lives that need to feel the love of God and the love of Main Street Church wrapped around them at that particular time in their lives. Notice the garden work days. I understand it is growing, but it does need some help with the weeding. So please note that, and also note that the newsletter will go on a summer schedule, not what we normally do, but we will be on a summer schedule from this point on. And if you need to have information in the newsletter, please get it to the church office. Now, we will continue our worship service as we prepare our minds and hearts to worship God as the acolytes enter the sanctuary with the light of Christ.
Come thou fount Will all who are able please stand and join in this morning's call to worship? Early in the morning, our thoughts turn toward God. We have been led to this mountaintop of worship. We come trusting in God's steadfast love. We gather seeking the ways of salvation and peace. God has made an everlasting covenant with us. Let us proclaim God's faithfulness to all generations. Sometimes we think God has forgotten us. We do not understand what God expects from us. God deals bountifully with us in much that we take for granted. God shows us the value of life and helps us to celebrate it. We bring sorrow and pain to the healing time. May God provide that we be in Christ.
Thank you. along with me, please, in praying the prayer of invocation as printed in your bulletin. Creator God, in Jesus you came into the midst of the Galilean as one of them. You lived among them as a neighbor. You spoke to them as a friend. You welcomed them as members of your family, and you treated them as brothers and sisters. Come now into our midst, dear God, as you enter into Galilee, and give us the grace to welcome you as neighbor, friend, and parent. Amen. And join it together in our affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The epistle reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Hear now a reading from God's words. Therefore, do not let sin dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you have once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms, because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness and sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. For those of you that are listening by radio, I would inform you that that was a choir from Dunwoody United Methodist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, that is blessing us this morning. And some of them are peaches and some are crackers. And we let you determine which ones are which. Give them a good United Methodist Church Main Street welcome. If there's ever been a time to have been in both worship services, today would have been the day to come and to hear these young people as they have blessed us. And certainly in our prayer time, we do want to pray God's blessings and protecting hand upon them as they leave here and head to Florence and then to Charleston and rumors of Myrtle Beach. But we're going to keep them here. We're not going to let them go. All we need is for some of y'all to feed them and house them. But anyway, they have truly blessed us already this day, and we give thanks to God for them and for their talents and for the wonderful directors that are responsible. I said this morning, early service, those who need sleep are the chaperones. But that's not true. They've had a great day and spent the night over in our administrative, or in our building across the way in our gymnasium area. Let us go to prayer at this time, remember the various needs within our church, and you see some that are printed. Let us be in a prayer for them as well. What a joy, dear God, it is to be in the presence of your people and to sing the songs of faith and to hear those songs that bring back so many wonderful memories and reaffirms within us the journey of faith that we have made that has brought us to this time and place today. We thank you again, dear God, that you lead us in all the ages and stages of our lives, that you are with us when we are young and reminded to the scripture speaks to us about turning our hearts to you in our youth before the evil days come. And testifying afresh as those who have matured and some with families that you have enabled us to deal with the issues of families and friends. And today, Almighty God, we give our homage to you, affirming that you are King and Lord of our lives, and praying that others will surrender themselves to you, and praying for those who have special needs this day, those who are hurting, those who are lost and lonely, those who are sick, for whatever the circumstance and the situation. Holy God, by your presence, hear our prayer. Touch them. And especially we're reminded for those who are serving where they're asked to go, whether it be soldiers or missionaries, but are willing to leave family and home. Holy God, be with those who are away from home this day. Those in leadership of our great land and those in leadership of our great church. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? Oh. Let us pray. Holy God, you have given to us, and now we give to you a portion of that which we have received, because we know that all that we have and all that we are is because of you. Receive these gifts, O God, from our hands. Bless giver and gift, and those who have not, and those who chose not to give this day. Let this money be used for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, both at home and abroad. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Invite the children to come down for children's time.
But you have a very important task this morning. We, as a church, are trying to teach our children to give to others. And we finished Bible school a week ago, and we had a phenomenal giving to Healthy Learners, which is a special program here to help all children of Greenwood County get the health needs fulfilled that they need to. And these children brought $740 and lots of toothbrushes and toothpaste and floss and coloring books and all these things. This morning we have another very special thing going on. We have two things. We have a group that we have been able to house. We're blessed to have a building where we could house them. And we fed them breakfast. But we also have prayer shawls here on the chancel rail. And at the end of the service, you will have a chance to come up and just say a special prayer over these prayer shawls. And these are in turn given to people who are in need. But I want to challenge you, the children, to do something new. Since you all were so great with Healthy Learners this summer, we would like to possibly buy an animal through Heifer International. That's a group that provides animals to people all over the world. And they're poor, and these animals go, and Heifer sends someone to that village and teaches them how to raise the animal. And in turn, that animal can provide some things for them. So you all have the special opportunity to decide what kind of animal we want to buy. And then I'm going to tell you how we're going to buy it, okay? So we could buy a goat, or we could buy a hive of bees that could give honey, and the family could sell that honey. We could buy a pig, and that pig would help a family. We could buy a sheep, or we could buy a cow. So what do you think we ought to buy? A cow, a sheep. Okay. No bees. Okay, we'll turn the bees over. Maybe a sheep. A sheep is $120. And the way that we are going to bring that money, the way we're going to get that, a sheep, are y'all good with a sheep? Trace, can you live with a sheep? You pretty good with a sheep? Sheep? You want a cow, Tucker? All right, I guess we're going to have to vote. A cow is $500. That's a lot of pennies. A sheep is $120. So close your eyes. And if you want to buy a sheep, raise your hand. If you want to buy a cow, raise your hand. Oh, the sheep won. The sheep won. Okay, so here is the challenge. When you come up for children's time, I want you to bring a handful of coins, just like you did at Bible school for healthy learners. Okay? And every week we will count that money. And when we get to $120, we will be able to celebrate, because we'll be able to send that money, and we'll go to a very special family somewhere in the world. Okay? So I have two boxes up here that we're going to bring the coins in, and I brought a cup of coins, and I want you all to be the first one, since you all are the ones that voted, to come put these coins in these boxes. So remember that when you come up for children's time, you need to bring money from your piggy bank or from your mom or your dad. Come on, Nash. We'll see how much we can bring next week and the following week, and we'll see how quickly. Here's some more, Ella. Oh, we'll see how quickly we can buy a sheep. Oh, we're dropping money everywhere. Okay. That's all. Okay. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for blessing us so much, and we just thank you for allowing us to bless others. In Jesus' name, amen.
remain standing for the reading of the gospel lesson as found in the gospel according to Matthew. Begin reading with the 40th verse of the 10th chapter. Hear now the reading of God's word. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Go ahead. I could see it in your face. It's such a wonderful thing. I was just thinking, man, you know, how I could just get out of here and go with them. And y'all would be all right while I was gone for just a little while. But it's wonderful to have. This is our second youth choir that we've had here this year. And they have blessed our hearts. And we give thanks to them for coming and sharing with us. I did some of my studies at Dunwoody, as I've already mentioned. And I was talking with some of the young people that in their church, they have an engineering feat that was done called a freestanding cross. And they didn't know that. But they wanted to come here a while ago and look at this beautiful old stately sanctuary. And it truly is one of our architectural marvel. And it's a wonderful joy as a pastor to just preach in this blessed pulpit. And so I know Dunwoody is the same. Dunwoody at one time was a church that was on about a 3 or 4 church circuit there in the backwoods of Georgia. And all of a sudden, Atlanta moved out and swallowed it up. And there they are. And they still have the old church on the grounds there as sort of a memento of what used to be and of what has taken place. And we give thanks to God for the blessings of Dunwoody and what God has done there. As Christ spoke to the disciples in this passage, you realize that about 50 years later, from this small group of people, the church grew to 500,000 in just a short period of time. As we reflect upon the lives of the disciples and what it cost them, they did not live an easy life. Circuit riders of early Methodism, their lives were not beds of roses. They endured a lot, suffered much. Many lived for just a few years and then died. But what burned in their soul was the gospel of Jesus Christ, something worth proclaiming in the backwoods of North America. Something that caused them dedication, sacrifice, preaching in multi-circuited areas. A recent study in Great Britain found that 42% of regular churchgoers fall asleep in church. How many of you have yawned since I've been here? Or maybe yawned in the past. They're telling the truth. I saw them yawning earlier this morning. This all because they slept so well here at Main Street. How many of you have snored since I've been here? Something's going on behind me, isn't it? At least you snored on pitch. So that's good. Just so you know that yawning might be a sign of some internal medical issues, as reported in the Behavior of Neutral Biology from the University of Maryland in 1987, it might be a sign of a brain lesion, tumors, hemorrhage, motion sickness. I got to keep an eye on this back crowd here. Encephalitis. And so now when you think about yawning, maybe you have a sense of guilt. But in the animal kingdom, when superior animals yawn, the subservient ones turn away. And scholars who have studied animals on earth have witnessed this phenomenon in the wild, in the zoos, at sales meetings, and in church. So if you feel guilty about what I'm talking about, guilt and worry are some of the reasons that people come to church. I remember how many folks were in worship after 9/11. The church I pastored in, the attendance went up quickly, and for those who had family, loved ones that were in the military, they were especially sensitive to what was taking place. And many times I had an individual prayer just for those standing in the aisle of the church, as we call out the names of those in service. And truly during that time, my name could have been called. People who were worried about the future, worried about what was going to take place, or we come to church because we are concerned about loved ones that may be ill, a marriage that is failing, finances shaky, or a job just not working out. Some might prefer to worry about things on a grander scale, losing sleep over global warming, relocated nuclear missiles, national debt, or AIDS epidemics. Attending church, we think that that will keep God fully informed on the seriousness of these issues and maybe help to move our personal concerns to the divine, to the top of the divine checklist. But you see, neither guilt nor worry are reasons that we should attend church. Why do we drag ourselves out of bed early on Sunday mornings, wrestle with kids and spouses, form ourselves into some type of recognizable family unit, pile into the car and drive to the church, especially during this time of the year when we have no liturgical issue that is facing the church like Easter or Christmas, when the sun is high in the sky, the days are longer, and there's nothing really to look forward to on the liturgical calendar? But how many days are we into the long season of Pentecost? Visiting this week, I left a home with a question echoing in my heart and in my head. Does this individual truly know what a relationship with Christ is all about? Has this person attended church all these years, and it's just a nice social club? Larry just returned from a week in Florida in intense studies of church worship. And there he found himself on a mountaintop experience. And as he returned to us, he was so full, he really didn't know fully how to express all that he had experienced. And we picked up on it in small doses during the week. And in sharing with Lee and I as we were out and about, and I said, I realize that not everybody has had a mountaintop experience with God. Not everyone in the church maybe has had the heartwarming experience that Wesley alluded to. I remember an old Texan speaking to our church group one day, and the only way he knew how to express it was to say, "Well, I can tell you when God struck oil in my soul." There are different ways to explain it. But there's also the reality to know it. That you have had an experience with God. That you truly, as Wesley said, know that you have faith. And that you truly believe and affirm that Christ died for your sins and that you indeed are a child of God. Those old Methodists had that type of experience. And not just old Methodists, but they are new Methodists today that have that type of heartwarming, renewing experience with God. And they truly embrace this faith that's so dear to our heart. I remind you again that even Wesley, after he had his heartwarming experience, was not embraced by the church. The Anglican Church turned its back on him, and Wesley went into the streets and into the prisons and into the fields. And the other day, while watching Jeopardy, lo and behold, they said, "What happened to Wesley?" And I looked at my wife and I said, "I know what happened. A farmer released a bull upon him while he was out preaching in his pasture, and they ran him off." Others began to make lots of racket so that people couldn't hear. And they say they still heard the gospel of Christ. Maybe another question we can ask ourselves this morning is, why do people not attend church? I shared this morning, share with you again, that one of the reasons that I felt so much at peace about leaving one of my churches was I realized that church growth in that small community was going to be, how will this person leave this church and come to your church? Because the reality was that many people had left the church that I was pastoring, and they were in other churches around the community, and they were calling that church growth. It seems to me that church growth truly takes place when individuals begin to experience Christ that haven't experienced Him before. When people begin to hear the good news and Christ begins to touch their heart and their lives. Now, if there's some of you that have come from other churches, we want to keep you. We want you to stay here as a part of this family. But I can look back and see where some of the best members of my church left and went to other places. Some were mad, as I mentioned earlier, the youth minister. And you might not believe it, some were mad at the pastor. Some were even upset about church indebtedness. Certainly not here. And yet these individuals were a part of the church when the decision was made to build. So what contributes to our empty pews? Well, I've heard some folks say that I have my own relationship with God. I don't really need to be a part of a church to be a Christian. My religion is private, my faith is personal. And what they're really saying is, I don't need other people in order to have a relationship with God. And I will speak to you this morning that I don't really know very many unchurched Christians. People that usually are unchurched don't fully understand what discipleship is all about. Frederick II went on an inspection tour of a Berlin prison. He was greeted with cries from the prisoners who fell on their knees and protested their unjust imprisonment. While listening to these pleas of innocence, Frederick I was caught by a solitary figure in the corner, a prisoner seemingly unconcerned with all the commotion. "Why are you here?" Frederick asked him. armed robbery, Your Majesty. Were you guilty? The king asked. Oh, yes, indeed, Your Majesty. I entirely deserve my punishment. At that, Frederick summoned the jailer. Release this guilty man at once, he said. I will not have him kept in this prison where he corrupts all these fine, innocent people who occupy it. Have you ever heard it said, well, I don't attend church because it's full of hypocrites? I guess you could say that's as good a half-truth as anything. Because it's true. The church is filled with hypocrites. Many of us from time to time have been backstabbing, two-faced, hypocritical sneaks more times than we even want to admit. The reality is, the church gives us hypocrites some place to go. And as someone has written, the church is not some earthly antechamber where a contingent of malicious, saintly people gathers a wait to be ushered directly into an especially lofty place in heaven. No, the church is more like the undecorated holding cell in the county jail on a Saturday night. Both are filled with people in various sorts of trouble, and all have sinned, and all have fallen short, and all know that they are caught. And those who complain about the kind of company they are having would have to keep if they came to church are simply demonstrating how well they really would fit in. There are others who say, oh, I can worship at the mountains, or at the lake, or on the golf course. And the fact is that the beauty of God's creation does speak to us about the majesty of God, the waves about the unspeaking unchangingness of God. But Christianity is rooted in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Where else will you hear that story but in a Sunday school class or from a pulpit? Or in the fellowship of the community of believers? Christianity is a revealed religion with a historical tradition. And without a community of faith surrounding us, retelling the stories and traditions again and again, we cannot know Jesus. The great outdoors simply will not tell us about this suffering servant. You will not hear about the Trinity while endeavoring to line up a putt on the 15th green from your buddies standing around. And when you miss that putt, you will not be talking about how wondrously majestic God is. You will not find it in the beautiful long rolling fairways. We hear it in the community. Margaret Mead, a person who studies early civilizations, was asked one day, and what is the symbol? What is the token? What do you find in a civilization as you begin to understand its development? What is the brink of the essence of a civilized society? She said, a healed femur. Femur, the leg, the bone right above the kneecap and the leg. Because a healed femur means that someone cared and someone loved and someone nurtured a person so that they could become again an effective part of the society. It is not the law of the jungle. The law of the jungle is only the strong survive. That the young, beautiful ones are thrown many times to appease some type of God. A community that a civilized learns to love. Bill Gates has $50 million. He gave $50 billion. I hope I said billion. I might have said million. He gave $1 billion to a charity to be dispensed over 20 years. You and I, many of us, most of us, some of us can't give that amount of money. Some of you might could. But Jesus, in speaking to this group in this passage, says, whoever gives a cup of cold water to a prophet will receive prophet's reward. I submit to you this morning that hospitality among us is a sign that Christ is welcome. I say to you this morning that the way we treat one another is the essence of who we are. We are called to welcome God into our lives, to welcome God into our community of faith, to welcome God into our world. And the implication behind Jesus' words is that we welcome God into our midst every time we extend ourselves in hospitality and grace to one another. That's why we come to church, to welcome God and to celebrate God's redemptive presence in our lives. All y'all are welcome here to this family. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Amen. Invite you now, we're going to have our dedication of prayer shawls. These are those which are given to our shut-ins. Many times when I go into the hospital, I find these individuals who are holding these shawls and have wrapped them around themselves, and so I invite those to come with me. Let's see. Do I just do the prayer? Yeah. Let us pray. May God's grace be upon these shawls,
warming,
comforting, enfolding, embracing. May these mantles be a safe haven, a sacred place of security and well-being, sustaining and embracing in good times as well as difficult ones. May the ones who receive these shawls be cradled in hope, kept in joy, graced with peace, and wrapped in love. Amen. I remember last year there were many who have made these shawls, have spent countless hours. We had a time for them to come and lay hands on these shawls. I invite you to come, and not only them, but any of you that would like to come and to pray a healing prayer for those who receive these shawls. Let's have a few moments to invite you to come. Would you come? I'm going to invite you to continue to come forward during the singing of our last hymn. Let us sing hymn number 399, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Thank you.
benediction is printed in your bulletin. We have celebrated together. Now let us go serve our Lord. The blessings of God go with you all.